Good morning. Jesus often used paradoxes in his teaching to drive home a message. For example, he said, "Do you desire to sit at the head of the table? Then you must sit at the foot. Do you desire to inherit the earth? Then you must be meek. Would you like to be filled? Then you must be hungry." But note especially this paradox. If you really want to live, you must die. Now that's a message at the very core of the teaching of Jesus Christ. In Philippians, the second chapter, the Apostle Paul said, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant." That word bondservant means slave. A regular servant could be paid, but a slave is not paid. So Jesus took the form of a slave. Being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Now what kind of death? Even the death of the cross. You see, the real message here is that Jesus condescended to death in order to give life, a life he wants to provide for you richly. This is the central teaching all the way through the New Testament. In Colossians, the third chapter, the writer says, "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Why are we to seek the things above? For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." Paul says the same thing in Galatians 2 and verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In the fifth chapter of Galatians, verse 24, he again says basically the same thing. "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires." This theme of self-crucifixion, or dying to self to live for Christ, is found all the way through the New Testament. It takes a long time for some of us who want to walk the Christian way to learn what we must do to die, and many others never learn. But to be pleasing to God, we must die. Too many feel like they can hold on to the nail-pierced hand of Jesus and to the claws of Satan at the same time. But Jesus says you have got to make a choice. You have to decide. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And when you decide, that decision must be the decision of death. All of our pride and our selfishness must go. That's tough, and it takes time, but it must be done. Jesus made so plain the need of death of self. In the story of the upper room, if you remember, the disciples had gathered with Jesus, and it was just a matter of hours before Jesus would be nailed to the cross. And while together they partook a meal, and during the course of that meal, a most significant incident took place. Jesus was aware that every one of them had tired, dirty feet. Why had they not washed one another's feet? I'm persuaded that they had the same basic selfishness, the same basic ego problem that is in all of us. Now please see the picture. It was the last week of Jesus' earthly life before the cross, and the disciples were still fussing over who was going to be the greatest. Who is going to sit at Jesus' right hand? Even Mother got involved in it. She wanted her sons, James and John, elevated to a supreme position with Jesus. When it became obvious to Jesus that nobody was going to wash anybody's feet, he arose from supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. He poured water into a basin, and God's Son washed the disciples' feet and wiped them clean with a towel, a task that was reserved for the lowest servant in the household. When he had finished washing their feet, he took his garment and he resumed his place. And I hope we'll never forget what he said to them. He said, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." We have to learn to die to ourselves, to be willing, in a manner of speaking, to wash one another's feet. You know, Jesus even washed Judas's feet. Putting ourselves in Jesus' place, I wonder how we would have washed Judas's feet, knowing that he would soon be on his way to have us crucified. Now, I'm persuaded that Jesus washed Judas's feet just as tenderly as he washed John's, the apostle whom he loved. Jesus had no resentment. He was living for his Father, and so must we. You say, yes, but what do you do when people abuse you, when they run over you? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You die. You die just like Jesus did. You need to learn to go into that closet and shut that door and pray and pray and pray. Pray out every bit of the resentment and bitterness we have toward that neighbor, that friend, our husband or wife. You see, really, the truth of the matter is, we do not have any rights anyway, and we never did. Back when I gave myself over to Satan, I became a slave of Satan, and so did you. I didn't have any rights. He owned everything. Later, when I let Jesus redeem me, Jesus bought my rights, and now all my rights are at the foot of the cross. If people do abuse me, I, like Jesus, must learn that I'm here to live for somebody else anyway. There's no room for resentment, even against ugly, bitter people. Jesus was able to hang on the cross and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Friends, they absolutely assaulted his rights. The Jews stoned Stephen, but Stephen had learned this same message. He said, Father, I lay not this sin against their charge. They beat Paul in Philippi. They left him for dead in Lystra, and yet Paul seemed to have no bitterness in his voice against them. Why? Because he loved them. He had died to himself. If you're asking, how do I go about dying to self? How do I start? I would like for you to look at the book of Romans, chapter 6, with me, beginning at verse 3. This is how you begin dying to self and living for Christ. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we might walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, certainly we will have also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Paul goes on to say in verse 13, Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now that's what I'm asking you to do today. Yield yourselves, your stubborn, selfish will to God as men who have been bought from death to life, where sin will have no more dominion over you. Listen to this little paragraph. It's called dying to self. When you're forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, now that's dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart, then that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met, and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God, even while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. Are you dead yet? Dead to self? Jesus said, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. And if it dies, it bears much fruit. May God help us today to really die, that we might be able to bear much lasting fruit to his glory. Until next week, may God bless and keep you.